are a number of pranks we used to do at seminary. Having been there this past week, I remember those pranks where we would either tie the Sanctus bells and nothing would come out, or we would, my now husband once wrote the name of the children of the Huxtables, and I read it in the prayers of the people so devoutly, and everyone laughed. And that was one of the things that that was really surprising. And one of the things we did at Pentecost in another church that I was, to read the gospel in different languages. Well, I said, wouldn't it be nice if I either read the gospel or preached in my native language? It would certainly scare you. And I don't think it would edify our rector. So I decided to go with our usual. Now, the question that we always ask ourselves is this idea of fear when something ends. Have you ever been afraid of an abrupt end of a relationship? I know that I have. Whether this would be a death of a really old grandmother, or a divorce in the family, or sudden death of someone caused by illness, or some really great friend moving on to another city. Now, this is the kind of change that we avoid at all costs, because it kind of unnerves us to a reality of our not choosing. It reminds us that we are no longer in charge. Now, there's a joke that goes like this: how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? I know that it only takes one Episcopalian to change four Episcopalians to change a light bulb, one to change it, one to hold the ladder, one to go get the martinis, and one to complain how great the old bulb was because it was either given by the old rector or his grandmother. There alone, we laugh because we know that as Episcopalians, change scares us. Change is something that is not very, very comfortable for us. But this morning, in our scripture readings, we see that disciples were also not comfortable with change. Their world had come to an abrupt end on a Friday afternoon, as their Lord and teacher had died in shame outside of their city. There were no good news as they scattered from the city in search of safety and security. Their preaching, their teaching, their traveling seemed to be nothing. And these miracles that Jesus did were but distant memories for them. And the peaceful kingdom Jesus preached were now laying in ruin, like his body on the cross. The disciples were heartbroken and afraid. But some of them, following the lead of Mary Magdalene, had gone to the tomb where others couldn't even get themselves the courage to go venture into the garden. The pain of loss was just too new. The longing for the past, the good times, offered little comfort. But Mary had brought some strange news. Jesus is alive. And that cannot be. Disciples saw the soldiers. They saw Jesus' march through the city, the nails and the cross. The news couldn't be true. Disciples were confused. And they gathered together behind locked doors to comfort each other and to protect themselves from the Jews, because they were afraid of being killed themselves. They wanted to connect with the familiar, to feel safe. Safety was in the numbers behind locked doors. The world, the pain, the fear of change, all safely kept at bay on another side of a lock. The locks, no matter how carefully crafted, cannot keep Jesus out. Even in this room flooded with memory and saturated with grief, resurrection seeps in. Peace be with you. Jesus stands in their midst, flesh and body and blood, resurrected. And their fear turns into excitement. The locks are forgotten because the one that is lost is alive, and with scars to prove it. Look and touch, as he says to Thomas. It really is Jesus. No matter how carefully barred, not even locked doors can keep the risen Jesus, the anointed one. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. The voice is familiar, but it resounds with urgency and love. In that moment, when the Holy Spirit is given, the lives are transformed. The disciples can no longer hide behind doors, frozen by fear, seeking to keep the world out. Jesus is alive and out there, out in the world, hidden in the guise of those in him in need. Holy Spirit has come. On Easter evening, the disciples once more gather to find comfort in the familiar. Jesus now is ascended. After the walk to Emmaus and breakfast on the shore, his work is done on earth. But is it really? Once more, in a house behind closed doors, they gather. A violent wind comes to the house, filling every corner. Tongues of flame hover above their heads and unstop their tongues. Out into the world, out from the house, out from behind doors, out to tell the good news to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And they're accused of being filled with new wine. The author must have been an Episcopalian. No, they're not filled with new wine, but they're filled with God's Spirit. As Jesus has promised, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come. So on this day at Pentecost, we, like the disciples, gather behind closed doors. We come here with hopes and fears and doubts and uncertainties, with joy, looking to be transformed, to be resurrected, to be made new. But to be made new means change. And we as Episcopalians don't like change. So we offer a simple prayer, a prayer that followers of Jesus have whispered and sung throughout the centuries. Come, Holy Spirit. It's a plea, a prayer to be filled with the breath of God that called the creation into being, to be replenished to enter the wilderness of doubt and uncertainty. We pray this prayer so strongly, but do we really want the Spirit to come among us? Jesus, after his baptism, found himself driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Nothing comfortable there. The wilderness where things happen, where we're forced to face ourselves laid bare. Do we really want to be faced with that? The Holy Spirit makes things happen and compels us out into the world to find Jesus present in other people. He opens our eyes to more clearly see Jesus in those we rather keep at arm's length, the ones we are more comfortable serving from a distance, from behind the security of locked doors and the safety of our own lives. Do we really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Like disciples, we, the church, can sometimes crave the safety of locked doors, our locked hearts, and our locked minds. Behind locked doors, we can find comfort in the familiar. But if we truly seek to follow our Lord, we know that no locked doors will keep him from appearing in our midst and compelling us to go out in the world. Jesus says, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. These are the words of promise if we are open to moving of the Spirit in our lives. But it does require change. Come, Holy Spirit. Our prayer on this day is a dangerous prayer because it means that we must be open and vulnerable, willing to be challenged and changed so that we can seek and find Jesus in the ones we serve. Come, Holy Spirit, means that we must become open to the transforming power of God in our lives. It means that we will find ourselves standing with those on the margins, on the edges, and on the outs. Now, this past week, I was back at the Shota House, and even going back there, as much of a home that it feels, it was sort of like, as someone called it, being back in the Middle Ages. The safety of that place was so abundant. The locks and the doors were so shut in a way. And it reminded us the 3 years we spent in that safety of prayer, in that safety of dealing with people, most likely think the same with us, but for some of us that was quite the opposite. We received the Holy Spirit in that place, and as Christians we receive the Holy Spirit at confirmation. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives to guide us. At baptism, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and marked as Christ's own forever. At ordination, that uncomfortable and claustrophobic experience of laying on our hands really does communicate the power of the Holy Spirit. We dare to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And in a moment's notice, we are changed as Christians. We are changed to be deacons, priests, bishops, you name it. We are changed. And that's a pretty scary thing. But the fact of the matter is, in our religion, unlike most, that we have this wonderful thing called Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus and the Father with us, and following us wherever we go, following us to the places that are not safe, following us to the places where we choose not to go, and following us into that mission field, just like our young people will go this week, to see the world and this city from a different view, and to reach out and minister to those people. Tell them about the Lord Jesus. Tell them about the good news, and tell them about the resurrection. May the Holy Spirit keep us this day, may faithful in our worship, and may the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth and peace, and enable us to go in that place where safety is not our primary concern. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.